Thank you for tuning into the Debbie Devotional Podcast, a monthly show focusing on Debbie prospects, strategies, and incoming rookies. Now here's your host.
Hello, and welcome to the Debbie Devotional Podcast, part of the Monocle Dynasty Podcast series. I'm Aaron Wilcox, and I can be found on Twitter at AaronWilcox86. And then I'm typically joined by John, so at Dynasty Coach A, and Alex Duchesnes at Duchesnes _. Make sure you give them a follow if you're not already, but they'll actually not be joining me today as I'm bringing you listeners a solo podcast series here. So this podcast series is going to be breaking down the 2022, 23, and 24 classes, first starting with the running backs. So today you're going to get the 2022 running back class. And then after I break down all the running backs, I'd like to go into the wide receivers. And then, you know, we're going to rejoin and get together with the normal Debbie content that we have been providing in the past. But the reasons I wanted to get this podcast series going here is to give listeners depth that I haven't seen out there in many podcasts. So I have 57 2022 running backs. So that's a lot of guys to get around to. And it's very easy for one person to go through all of them. So that's kind of a bonus of today's episode. And then also I have 28 of the 2023 running back class, and then 30 guys in that 24 incoming freshman running back class. So lots of guys to cover here. And it's gonna be a pretty brief introduction to these running backs. I am going to briefly touch on, you know, some strengths, weaknesses, play styles, production, things like that tonight. And I also want to present these guys in a general ranking of more talent-based versus Debbie or Campus to Canton rankings. So these ranks are not necessarily going to correlate with scoring. So I wouldn't be following these rank by rank. I wouldn't be getting too caught up in the order that I present these guys. Just know that this is how I generally view the talent in the running back class. Let's go ahead and get started here. So number one running back for me in the 2022 running back class is Breece Hall. Breece Hall, Iowa State kid. He's talented. He has the requisite size you want. So he's 6'1", 215 pounds. The guy broke out as a freshman and he improved on that as a sophomore. He's been bulking up, getting more physical, stronger as he goes, and he just offers a lot of versatility. So the guy has good burst, he has good contact balance, he's elusive, and he's developed into more of a power back than he was in the past. So he's gonna be a guy who offers a lot to a team, and I can definitely see him being a day one or day two running back next year. So he has all the traits that you wanna see out of a feature back. So he's got it all, and I could actually see him being a Todd Gurley type of player as his absolute ceiling. But I'm not saying that Todd Gurley is a direct comp by any means, but Breece Hall is just a super well-rounded player. I like a lot of what he has to offer, and I'm really just gonna leave it at that. He's talked about on a lot of podcasts, just as he's this dominant player and this very valuable asset in Dynasty or Devi and Campus to Canton formats. So he is my number one running back in the class. And then I have a small tier break. I mean, it's very minimal. Step down to Isaiah Spiller. So Isaiah Spiller is a Texas A&M back, and he is, you know, got good size. He's 6'1", 225. So he's got that workhorse frame. He's got that feature back size, which is nice. He also had a great freshman season. He had some solid receiving production. I mean, nothing too crazy, but he really did show a lot both in 2019 and 2020. So, and this guy is not just a straight ahead runner. That's what he does best, but he does pull off some lateral moves here or there. He has some elusiveness. So while that's not how he wins, he's capable of doing quite a few things similar to Breece Hall. I actually like his power and ability to finish inside the red zone too. So he's not just a big guy who doesn't use his frame. Like, he has some power to him for sure. I think he has average top speed, and I think that's the main detractor. I don't think he's quite as smooth either as Breece Hall. So that's why he's slightly lower. But still, I mean, as far as a prospect, I mean, this Isaiah Spiller kid, he's good. He should be going probably day two in the NFL draft. So I really like him. then there's kind of this big drop off for me and a lot of analysts. I really don't think that there's a clear third guy in this class. And for me, it's Jerrion Ealy right now. So Jerrion Ealy is an Ole Miss running back. He's currently listed at 5'9", 190. He was listed at 200 pounds on 24/7. So I don't know exactly what his size is right now, between 190 and 200, I suppose. But I don't have significant concerns about him getting up to about 205, which is what I look for in running backs. So I would like running backs to really hit that 205 mark, just because that's the point that we actually start seeing these guys being able to take on large workloads in the NFL, and teams actually being willing to invest in them and try to build around them. So Ealy has this great background. He's a very, very talented kid who had Major League Baseball upside, and now he's all in on football. So he is fully committed, and he has home run speed. He's got great contact balance. For a smaller guy, you got to have those things. If you're not over 200 pounds, you got to have something else that's special. And he does. He has a very solid speed and contact balance. And he's also pretty good at evading tackles. So, I mean, he's kind of slippery and can make really nice cuts there. He can put his foot in the ground and really explode. So I just want to see more consistency from him, and I want to see him get bigger. He has some receiving upside as well, and I really like him, but he's a clear tier below those top couple guys I mentioned in Hall and Spiller. So Jerrion Ealy is a solid back for sure in this class, but I mean, there's a chance that he doesn't even break the top 10 if he doesn't get up his weight and really show out this season. So number four, I have Kyren Williams. So in addition to Ealy, I have Williams and a few other guys in this tier. And Williams was this guy who broke out for Notre Dame last year. He wasn't highly touted. He wasn't drafted very high in a lot of formats, but he was a good high school producer. And, you know, he has some receiving ability in his past. So that's promising for a running back. So 195 currently, he kind of looks at maybe 200 at this point, but he's definitely not a large kid by any means. He has really good elusiveness overall. I mean, I wouldn't call him absolutely filthy in that regard, but he makes nice cuts and jukes, but he's not really a guy who wins through power. So he's not a bruiser by any means. And while he had an efficient 2020, I want to see more out of him as far as, you know, can he consistently play at hopefully a larger size this season? Otherwise, I'll think of him as more of a 1B as far as a back goes. So guy who can have a solid role if needed to in the NFL and a well-rounded skill set, but maybe not a feature back. So I can understand why people could put him down lower just because we want upside in running backs. But the nice thing is that he does have that 5'11 frame. So hopefully he can get up to more like 205 plus as far as a weight. So I think he plays somewhat similar to Jerrion Ealy, who I just talked about, actually. But to put him in context of some other players, just as kind of a ballpark of how they play, how they look, maybe a juiced up Michael Carter or Giovanni Bernard, and maybe an Austin Eckler type. I mean, any one of those guys, there are certain parallels or similarities between them. So not direct comps, but just to give you an idea of where my thoughts are at with Kyren Williams. So Eric Gray is the next guy. He's an Oklahoma back. He just transferred from Tennessee. So he spent his first 2 years at Tennessee, and he's 5'10", 205. So he's got a decent size already. I could see him definitely getting up to 200 pounds. And he's an athletic guy who has nice burst. Doesn't have the breakaway speed necessarily, but he's just a well-rounded guy who has some receiving upside, who has a really nice juke move. I mean, it looks like DeAndre Swift out there as far as when he's making that move. And I could actually see that being a comp. But anyways, this kid did not truly become a workhorse at Tennessee in his first couple of years, and he's hoping to do so at Oklahoma this year. So Eric Gray, he's walking into some decent competition there. I mean, say what you will about Kennedy Brooks, Seth McGowan, Marcus Major, guys like that, but there's solid competition, and he's going to have to beat him out, you know, heading into a new system that's never easy. And he is a talented guy. I just think that there's risk with him. So I could definitely see him becoming the RB3 in this class. Eric Gray is definitely talented enough to rise up this year, especially if he takes the reins and he really steps up as the 1A. But there's no guarantee of that. So kind of a risk, but as far as what he flashes on the field, it's promising. And like I said, he, you know, he has some receiving upside too. So he's a pretty complete back. So keep an eye on him this season. So the next guy I have here is Kevin Harris out of South Carolina. Last year, he absolutely blew up. He had an impressive season. It was efficient. He showed off burst and speed for a big guy. This guy is 5'10", 225, this feature back size. And, you know, he showed some nice agility and nice cuts there and an occasional spin move even. I mean, Kevin Harris has an array of moves that he can use. And I think a lazy comp that you're going to see around is A.J. Dillon. But, man, I almost thought, like, he's more in the spectrum between, like, Nick Chubb, but then a Zach Moss, like, kind of in that spectrum. So I don't know. I don't want to get you guys too pumped on Kevin Harris because I think he is a little bit limited upside-wise. I don't think his athleticism is elite by any means. But the guy is talented for sure. So definitely keep an eye on him I don't want to pump him up too much, but if he continues doing what he did and really outproducing everybody else in that backfield this year, I think he has a very solid chance of doing that. So Marshawn Lloyd, he'll be coming back, but you know, coming off an ACL injury is never easy. And that's one reason that I am a little bit hesitant thinking that he's just going to come back into there and take Harris's job altogether. So that's my thoughts with Kevin Harris. And then the next guy I want to talk about is somebody who's been kind of forgotten. There's still the truthers around, but Jerome Ford, a former Alabama recruit, but now plays for Cincinnati. So he transferred to Cincinnati this last year, and he didn't take over there right away. In fact, he didn't really take over at all, but every time he was on the field, he flashed. He flashed the speed, he flashed the breakaway plays, and he has power. I mean, he has the size, elusiveness, agility, acceleration, everything that you want out of a back. And he's 5'11", 215, so I mean, this guy can withstand a nice workload. And he was a good recruit. I mean, Bama really wanted him, and they got him, and then he transferred, understandably, out of there. There's so much competition in that backfield where I don't blame kids for transferring. I don't know why kids keep going to these loaded schools. I suppose they have confidence in themselves and that the coaching staff will get them involved. But I mean, there's always the odd man out. So he didn't take over there year one, but now that Dokes is leaving from Cincinnati, I see Jerome Ford stepping up. Watch for this guy, breakout player this season. He's been slept on by a lot of people. So I could see him becoming a top 6 to 8 back in this 2022 class. And he almost reminds me of like Journey Brown, like with his flashes. If you guys don't know who Journey Brown is, I mean, Penn State guy who was forced to retire, and unfortunately, he had a heart condition. And man, that was really sad because he had a chance to be the RB1 in the 2021 class. That's how good Journey Brown was. So the fact that Jerome Ford has given me some of those vibes with his athleticism and whatnot, that's real tantalizing for sure. So next up is a little bit of a tear break for me, but Sincere McCormick, UTSA. So yes, he doesn't have the best competition there. There are some things going against him, but man, he flashes really nice. And he broke out as a freshman and then more sophomore production. So the production is there. 28% dominator rating as a true freshman. That's good. He had 4.54 high school 40-yard dash time. That's really nice. Yes, he's 5'9", 200-ish. So I don't know how much bigger he'll get. But I would bet money that he can get up to 205. It's 5 more pounds. I think he's already thickly built. He might be there already. So he shows receiving ability. And statistically, he has put up some decent numbers in the receiving game. He's had 20 plus receptions each of his first two seasons, so that's nice to see. And he can stay up through contact, through runs. So that's nice as well. I mean, he's not a creative guy necessarily, but he's also not a plotter who just falls down on first contact. So, I mean, I could see some parallels between him and Kevin Harris. The issue is that McCormick's about 20 pounds lighter. So maybe he's a burstier version of, let's say, Gus Edwards. I don't know. But Sincere McCormick is a compact back in many ways, and I like what he brings to the table. So George Filani is the next guy I want to talk about. Boise State running back at 5'11", 206. He looks pretty thin out there, but I mean, if he's already at that 206 mark, I think he's going to be fine. And he had over 1,000 yards and 200 yards receiving as a freshman. That's good production. And then he tore his MCL in the second game of the 2020 season, and that was a huge bummer. The guy is super talented, and he'll be a post-hype sleeper, in my opinion, because he shows nice burst and ability to get around the edge. I mean, he maneuvers around defenders well, and he'll make a guy miss every once in a while. So he has functional receiving ability too. So he's a well-rounded back, and he's not going to get a lot of attention going to Boise State, but Boise State quietly has put out some nice running backs. So style-wise, I mean, he could be anywhere around that Austin Ekeler range as far as what his style dreams to me. But he's not a guy who has a lot of power. But as he continues to bulk up, I think some of that may come. So, and he has good enough contact balance too. So I like George Filani a decent amount. Then after this, it gets a little bit more cloudy, I guess you could say, because there's a lot of guys who have talent here, a lot of guys who have upside, but there's not a clear determining factor for any of these guys for me to put ahead or in the same tier as George Filani or McCormick. So all these guys now are going to be in this big old tier. It's very hard to differentiate these guys, and I am going to be rating them from my perceived level of talent for them. So let's jump into one of the most talented guys in this tier, and that's Trey Sanders out of Alabama. 6 foot, 215 pounds. And he was a truly great recruit coming out of high school with three down ability. So receiving upside, early down ability. And yeah, he was an accomplished receiving back in high school. I want to say he led his high school in receptions or reception yards. One of the two. And he also flashed enough speed in high school. He's not a blazing running back by any means, but a 5'5" guy. So I'm not going to be so concerned about the speed. However, we need to see him healthy. He didn't play in 2019 due to a foot injury. And then, yes, he got some practices towards the end of the season. Then he flashed in 2020 and then immediately, got into a car accident this 2020 season, and he had a rather significant hip injury. So unfortunately, we didn't get to really see him break out in 2020. And I'm not so sure that it happens this year. That's why he's down this far. It definitely could happen. I know Nick Saban likes to get different guys involved, especially his highest recruits. And maybe it'll be 2022, or maybe he sticks around to the 2023 class. But man, Trey Sanders is talented if he's healthy. He just started running on the treadmill this last month. So, I mean, that's a good sign at least. But he has a ways to go. So he's going to heal up just fine, in my opinion, by the fall. Hopefully it's not as severe of an injury as Tua had. But, man, you got to love the talent for Sanders. So I can understand why somebody has him lower. Right now he's running back 10 in the 2022 class for me. But that's just mostly off talent. I don't know what we're going to get out of him production-wise this year. So enough time spent on the very talented Trey Sanders. Let's go to another talented guy, another great recruit coming out of high school who's had some injuries in Zamir White. So he's the Georgia running back who is going to return as a starter, 6 foot, 215 pounds. He's got that feature back size. And he was another super talented recruit, number one back in the 2018 recruiting class. And he's tore each of his ACLs. So unfortunately, he's first able to play in 2019. And then 2020, this last season, was really when he first started to look good. He started to look powerful, and he had some downhill burst and really flashed. And I liked what we saw, but he doesn't have that home run speed. So I do think that there's some limitations with him. And then also some inconsistency with his vision at times, may run into contact, but he's getting more comfortable as time goes on. So maybe 2021, he'll really show what he's capable of. I don't see that big of a difference between him and a guy like Mark Ingram. However, maybe I'm just underrating how good Mark Ingram was, because I mean, Mark Ingram coming out of Alabama was legit. So Zamir White's not really a creator for himself, but he can make a guy miss occasionally, especially now that he's recovering nearly at full strength. But I just don't want this to become a Sony Michel issue where his ACL tears really have a degenerative effect on his knees. So for those who don't know my background, I'm in a doctorate of physical therapy program. I'm just finishing up now. I'll graduate in May. So I do have background in injuries and recovery from injuries and whatnot. And I do have some concerns with Zamir White coming back from multiple ACL tears. So his longevity at the running back position, I mean, running backs don't last that long compared to other positions to start with. So Zamir White could be looking at a shorter career, unfortunately. Next guy is Sir Roderick Thompson out of Texas Tech. And he's maybe not a guy that many people have heard of. Depends on what formats you play, but man, 6 foot, 210 pounds. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy has some highlights that'll get you excited at his nice speed. And I mean, he has good acceleration. He hit 20.8 miles per hour on a certain play in 2020. And the guy can also break an arm tackle. He'll make nice cuts as well. And he has pretty solid vision based on the film that I have watched. And yes, his numbers aren't amazing. He doesn't have the best efficiency out there. But he was second in the Big 12 in yards per rush at 5.6 this last year. So he's not a slouch by any means. I want him to continue to improve with his share of the offense, but he flashes nice talent. So keep an eye out for Sir Roderick Thompson. And I actually liken him to maybe a Ronald Jones as far as kind of a play style. And I'm hoping he's more of a receiving threat than Jones has been to this point. So another guy that I kind of like here, I believe this is a guy that Ray Garvin's talked about in the past. I've heard some other guys reference him, but this is Zonovan Knight or Bam Knight. I believe he goes by Bam occasionally as a nickname, but it's an NC State running back at 5'11", 206. He has some similar production between his 2019 and 2020 seasons. Yes, he got some more passing work this last year, but he really needs to break out in 2021. Not sure if it happens. There's not much change going on in their backfield. But, I mean, he had a high broken tackle rate. It was the second highest behind Javonte in the 2020 season. So, I mean, 30+% highest broken tackle percentage. I mean, that's not bad. So he's a versatile guy overall. Really keep an eye out for his burst. He can push the pile, and I mean, he falls forward on runs. So I like a lot of the things that he offers. He's not too special in many areas. And I also noticed he was playing with a left knee brace in 2019. So I don't know if he has knee issues, what's going on there, but I do think that he has enough burst where I'm not concerned about a lack of speed or athleticism by any means. So Zonovan Knight is another guy. I have him 13th in this class. Next up is Max Borgi, Washington State, and he's 5'10", 198. And he's a guy where a lot of people are going to be real hesitant, or I mean, more than hesitant. They just hate the idea of Max Borgi just because people have comped him to Christian McCaffrey. Because yes, I get it. They look alike. And there's more parallels than that. I will say he's not that explosive. He's not that level of player, of course, but I mean, he's got really nice change of direction and lateral quickness. He can hurdle defenders pretty easily. He's a very good pass catcher. And I get it. He was in a air raid type of offense where he was able to get lots of receiving work. So he was versatile. And he's not a power back. So I get why people want to comp him to Christian McCaffrey or like Danny Woodhead or whatever kind of white running backs, I guess, that people feel inclined. But I don't have a great comp for him, to be honest. I'm not even going to try with him. But he's a good pass catcher. So he's approaching that 200-pound size, too. So I think that there's upside there, and we love receiving backs in today's NFL. So as long as he can bulk up a little bit more, I'm encouraged for sure. So Ramon Davis is the next guy that I want to touch on. So Davis is a guy who's transferred from Temple to Vanderbilt, and he sits at 5'9", 210, so he's pretty stocky, pretty thick build, really. And he flashed as a freshman. People got really excited for him. They kind of a lost 2020 season, and then now the transfer to Vanderbilt. But, I mean, I think at Vanderbilt, he's going to be seeing better defenses. So at least that gives him an opportunity to prove himself against some good competition. And he flashes elusiveness, some through power for, you know, not a huge back by any means. So he's got that blend of finesse and a little bit of power. I get some slight Rashad Penny vibes. I'm not sure. I mean, kind of between Rashad Penny and Devin Singletary, I know those guys aren't similar, but kind of when you blend some of their game together, his style reminds me of something in the middle of those guys. So he's a guy I do like. He's the number 15 guy in this class, so I think he definitely could rise. Excuse me. Next up, and my co-host, Shane's is going to be very sad to hear this. He's going to be, we might have to have a conversation later, but CJ Verdell at number 16 for me. He's an Oregon running back. To be honest, I could put him higher than this. I mean, some of this is recency bias, I suppose, because he didn't really have much success in 2020, but he sits at 5'10", 210 pounds, and he's a pretty big back who has some pop to him. He has some burst. And he's not really a guy who strings together a lot of elusive moves. And I don't think he has the best long speed, really. I think it's going to limit his big play upside. And yes, he'll run aggressively into tacklers, but I also don't think that he's just this powerful guy either. So, I mean, yes, he's had some good stats his first couple of years. I think this is going to be his senior year, I want to say, and I mean, he's got to prove it this year. He's really got to outproduce some of the other guys there. So, and they have a pretty talented backfield there in Oregon. So let's just keep an eye out to see if he is able to really prove that he's the workhorse for them this year. Okay, I'm fine moving him up. He could definitely be a top 10 back in this class, no doubt. He was going to be a top 10 class in the 2021 class, most likely before the season. So I could definitely see that happening for the weaker 2022 running back class. And yes, this class is weaker than the 2021, or definitely the 2020 class, that's for sure. But maybe as some of these guys bulk up, they emerge, maybe our opinions will change. There's always breakouts, and there's a couple guys at the top who are comparable to, you know, Najee Harris, Javonte Williams, Travis Etienne. So, yeah, we could definitely see the 2022 running back class improve, that's for sure. Another guy that I want to touch on here is actually Jarek Broussard out of Colorado, and probably a little known guy, and I don't expect most people to have him this high. I just really loved what I saw from him, and he produced really well this year. Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year, and all that at 5'9", like 190-ish. He was part of the 2018 high school class, so he's kind of old. He tore his ACL in 2019, so that's kind of why everything's been delayed. But he's got just a nice overall skill set. He's got receiving upside. I'm quietly excited to see him finally be at full health in 2021 after what he flashed this last year. you're looking at a guy with great burst, or at least very good burst, and good physicality for his size, nice cutting ability, and very good balance. I mean, I would love to see him come in at 200 plus, and we'll see if that happens. But man, if you like Miles Gaston, you're gonna like the more explosive version of him in Jarek Brassard. So I like him a good amount in this class, but he's kind of more of a deep sleeper right now than anything else.
What's up, guys? It's Dynasty Coach A here. You didn't actually think I was going to let Aaron talk this entire time without me getting on here, did you? No, I'm just kidding. Aaron's doing a great job, but we're going to go ahead and cut this off here. We're going to have this as a two-part episode. A lot of great info, a lot to take in, so we didn't want it to be too much. And, you know, an hour of all these prospects might have been a little too much. So we're going to go ahead and cut it off here. Appreciate Aaron and everything that he's doing for this pod. But for now, we will cut off and we will have the second part in a couple days.